I'm not so sure that in the Bethlehem of 2,000 years ago, the appearance of a couple of camels and three dudes dressed up as if they're from the East would be all that remarkable of an event. I think that it probably would be pretty unremarkable. And as I was thinking about this story, which is, after all, extremely familiar to most of us, I began to think about the things that I don't normally notice. And the first thing that I notice is that, for the most part, the action at Bethlehem that we celebrate and contemplate is really kind of happening on the edge of things, at the margins of the world of that day. But it is a margin and a boundary that gets crossed all the time. The first characters that we are introduced to in the story are the wise men. And they're not too well defined, but they come from somewhere off in the east. Well, there's lots of stuff somewhere off in the east. There's a bunch of Persians, and then if you go further, there's India and China. We don't really know where they're from, but we know that they are from a place that has inhabitants maybe numbering far more than Palestine or even Rome. And so you kind of begin to sense that there's this massive area from which these strange characters come with this strange message and this strange mission. The next character that we hear about is how Herod, who is the what I would call puppet king of Judea, who serves the Roman interests, greets these kings, these strangers, these magi, these whatever they are from the east. And you can kind of see in Herod's responses and in his confusion and in his sort of intentional way of figuring out what's going on here, that he's got some concerns about this King of the Jews idea, because it's clear the Magi didn't come to see him. And so you have here on the edge of the Roman Empire, you have this puppet king who serves Caesar Augustus, so we're told. And remember what the Roman Empire is at that time. I mean, it stretches from Palestine all the way to Britain and to Spain and onto the edge of the German area. It's a big empire. It is a big empire. And here in this place, this crossroads, called Palestine, something is taking place. On the edges of the world's empires, the kingdom of God is breaking in a remarkable and powerful way. And I want us to take a look at how this breaking in challenges us. At the intersection of the great trade routes of the ancient world, far from the center of power, God is breaking in with a power that will not stand, or will stand, excuse me, and will challenge, and indeed will ultimately prevail over Rome and the powers to the east. We need to pay attention to what God is doing. For God is saying something very specific to us, even today, about how we go about the business of following this Jesus, and how we are to be faithful to this Jesus. The first thing God is reminding us is that there's no margins with God. You might be on the edge of society's boundaries. You might be out in the hinterlands of the empire. You might be somewhere far away from other people, both spiritually and physically. But you are still embraced and surrounded by God. And when we remember that, then these things that are happening here in this little town, which apparently Herod did not know about or was not very aware of, this little place, you have to wonder what God is doing. And God is doing this. God is coming for those people, especially those people whom the world does not have any use for. God is coming so the kingdom might break in and attract people to God's kingdom and to what is eternally true and eternally meaningful instead of that which is transitory and ultimately without power. God is breaking in to declare and challenge Rome, the East, and yes, even you and I, for the times when we believe that our self-worth and our importance is wrapped up in the kind of government we participate in, or the kind of government we fight, or the kind of economics we are a part of, and the kind of wealth we are able to accumulate. Palestine mattered to Rome, not because it was where God was showing up, but because it was a pathway to trade and to dispensing and dispersing Roman power and culture. And to that purpose, God comes and says, no. The reality, the truth, for my people and for my world is not found in the powers of this world, in the powers of economics or government or military or trade. It's found in Jesus Christ. This is God's mission. We hear it in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, what? Not to condemn, but to save the world. And that mission, that purpose, is as true today as it was long ago. And it is God's mission, even as we breathe, that people who are on the margins, who are not benefiting from the ways of the world, who are not able to participate in the ways that control their lives, will find a way and a power and a love that calls them in and embraces them and brings them up and lifts them up and gives them hope. You might say to yourself, well, what about those who are not on the margins? Well, folks, when we're not on the margins, it means we have two choices. One, we can decide that it's Rome's way, it's the way of earthly power, and we can participate in that and enjoy all its benefits, and we can defend it, and we can deal with the consequences of our choice. Or, we can see what God is doing in Bethlehem, and we can see what God is doing in his mission to sending Jesus. And we can go where God is reaching and touching people on the margins. The two responses can be seen in Herod and the three wise men. Herod, wily man that he was, befriended the Magi and sought to enlist their help in squishing out this threat to his power. Most of the time, we don't read the story of how Herod, in his anger at the wise men's refusal to come back and inform him, killed every child under the age of two, every boy under the age of two in Bethlehem and the surrounding areas. Killed them all. What a horrible way of conducting one's life. And in defense of what? The wise men, though, and perhaps that's why they're wise, chose to kneel and humble themselves and follow. We don't know any more about them than this story. And in a way, that's good because it means that we can put ourselves in their places and by our own humility and our own obedience and our own offering of ourselves to God, we can replicate their faithful response and recognition of who Jesus is. And we too can go back from where we came from and we can share the light of the world into the darkest recesses of the people that we know. Well, let's think about for just a second, who's on the margin in our world? Well, one of the first things, if you think about the zip code 22309, we have 35,000 people in 22309. That doesn't include 22306 and 22308, which is just as important, but just take 22309. We have people who are poor. Now, we do some things to help the most extreme poor. We see that in our ministries to VicHop and Ventures in Community in general, and some of the other ways we support UCM and New Hope Rising. Rising Hope and New Hope Housing. But there are other people. There are poor that are not on the streets and yet are not here and not anywhere in church. There are poor who need to know that there's somebody who loved them. And not only are there poor that look like us, there are poor that do not look like us. And so, there are plenty of people on the margins that way. There are also people on the margins who are on the margins by language and ethnicity. We have an extremely diverse culture. And that's good in many ways. And one of the things that is most important about the wise men is the understanding that Jesus Christ is attractive to people who do not look, think, or act like us. You think the wise men from the East were like the Jews? No. Jesus Christ is attractive to people who do not think, act, and believe as we do. And so, there are people, because let's face it, 35,000 people in 22309, I can guarantee you that in any one week, not even a majority, not even a healthy minority of those 35,000 people will put themselves into a church pew or a church seat. But they will, if somehow given the opportunity, will come to Jesus. Because Jesus is attractive. Now, we can debate the issue of whether Christians and churches are attractive. That's a whole other thing. But Jesus is attractive. The message of God is God's love poured out and shared for all. And that is something that is always going to draw attention if offered. Let us pray.